Welcome. I'm Hanat Baba, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. A few years ago, the outlook for independent bookstores was bleak. Observers predicted that big chains like Borders and Barnes & Noble and Amazon would decimate independent booksellers. And some independent bookstores did take a big hit. Between 2000 and 2007, some 1,000 independent bookstores closed, according to a report in Slate. But some independent booksellers have survived, and some are even pointing to a renaissance of these bookshops. Indie bookstores have survived by carving out a niche, serving as community hubs, using creative approaches to attract customers and support. Last year's first ever California Bookstore Day was a celebration of indie bookstores and a way to bring the focus back on their vital role in communities. This year's event is Saturday, May 2nd, and it's expanded to include 400 bookstores, and it's gone national around the country. In the Bay Area, more than 70 booksellers are taking part in the celebration. 16 exclusive books and artworks have been created to mark the day. So on today's show, we'll have a conversation with local booksellers about the state of independent bookstores. Is the Bay Area seeing a renaissance in these bookshops? How is your favorite independent bookstore changing? With us today is Samantha Shea, Program Director of Independent Bookstore Day on May 2nd. 400 bookstores across the country will take part. And welcome, Samantha.
Thank you.
Also with us is Amy Thomas, owner of 3 Pegasus and Pendragon bookstores in Berkeley and in Oakland. She bought the bookstores from founder Matt Weiss, right?
That's right.
Back in 1995, and she's been president of the Northern California Independent Booksellers Association and sits on the board of Buy Local Berkeley, an independent business alliance. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. And Alan Beats is the founder and owner of Borderlands, a bookshop many of you know in the Mission District that specializes in science fiction. Borderlands was on the brink of closure last year until it launched a creative membership campaign that's helped to keep its doors open. And welcome, Alan.
Thank you.
I'm definitely going to ask you what you did, but we also want to invite our listeners into the conversation. What do you value about your local independent bookstore? What events or special programs really get you in the door of these bookstores? And what changes have you seen among your local booksellers? And this is also a chance to recommend your local bookstore and give it props. The number to call is 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255, or you can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org, feedback@yourcallradio.org, or post a web comment at yourcallradio.org. So, Samantha, let's start with you. Last year was the first California Bookstore Day. This Saturday, it's just blown up to 400 bookstores nationally. What's behind this success?
Well, our intention was always to go national, but we started last year with California because it was a easier bite to chew, and we didn't really know what we were getting into. And California has one of the most vibrant and lively independent bookstore communities in the country. And the Bay Area has a particularly vibrant and lively independent bookstore scene. So we started here as our test ground. We had 93 stores in California participate the first Saturday in May. And it was a huge success. Publishers and authors donated their work and published limited, exclusive, unique items that would be just for sale at those participating bookstores on that day. Mm-hmm. And bookstores saw on average a 50% increase in sales on that day than they had the first Saturday in May the year before. So economically, it was a success. But we also had a story to tell, which is that we're here and we're not just struggling and holding on by our fingernails, but many stores are doing really well. And it's because, you know, we're vibrant, flexible, imaginative businesses. I think for a long time, there was this impression that independent bookstores were sort of these musty old throwbacks. that weren't keeping with the time. And mm-hmm. we wanted to change that narrative because it's not true. And as you said in the introduction, more bookstores have opened in the last few years than have closed. This is across the country. So we wanted to get that message out. And we also just wanted to throw a huge statewide party.
And well, that's always great. And your husband is...
So I am married to Pete Mulvihill, who's a co-owner at Green Apple Books.
All right.
And this was initially his idea. And then the Northern California Independent Booksellers Association decided to produce it and hired me to be the producer. But I did have to apply for the job. It wasn't pure nepotism.
Amy, how are you participating Saturday?
Well, on Saturday itself, we're having a really great event at our downtown store with Mallory Ortenberg, who wrote Jane Eyre, the text. Mm-hmm. And she's bringing some friends for what should be a tremendous conversation. We've had her once before, and it was fantastic. We're also having tonight at Ben and Nick's on College Avenue in Oakland. We're having a literary trivia quiz. Promise no sports questions. and that was really fun. We did that last year. On Friday, we're doing happy hour stories at our Solano store, which is stories for adults about California. And that's at 7:30.
All right. So. Okay. And Alan, what about your store?
Oh, well, we are hosting a sort of sub-event from California Bookstore Day that's the Bikes to Books ride. We aren't actually doing something officially associated with the event because I thought it was going to be closed by then. So
Ooh.
We didn't sign up for it and we didn't plan anything because I thought we would be shut by the end of March.
Perfect segue. So let's go into who survived, who didn't, and why. I mean, for all of us, we were just hearing doom and gloom. Independent bookstores are doomed. And then these inspiring stories started to come up. So tell us what you did with Borderlands to keep it here.
Okay. I will make this kind of the compressed version. At middle of last year, when I first heard that it was likely that the minimum wage in San Francisco was going to increase up to $15 an hour by the middle of 2018, I took a look at the math and realized that that would make my business not financially viable. Mm. The problem there being, I should say the bookstore half of my business wouldn't be financially viable. The problem being that books have a price printed on them and you can't really adjust that price. We're already under price pressure from companies like Amazon. So unlike the other half of my business, which is a cafe, where it's very easy to adjust the price of things like coffee and so forth, can't really do that with books. So I came to the conclusion that if that legislation passed in November, I would probably have to close my business. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out alternative solutions, but there just wasn't a way that I could see getting around a 39% increase in the second highest expense that I have in my business.
And voters did approve it.
Voters did pass it in November overwhelmingly. And so on February 1st, I announced that we would be closing by March 31st. And there was quite a lot of discussion and attention to that. I hosted a meeting for my customers to answer their questions and to get their suggestions. And in part as a result of ideas that were presented at that meeting and also conversations I had with my staff and my customers subsequent to that meeting, we started a sponsorship program wherein each year in between January 1st and March 31st, 300 sponsors have to put up $100 each. If they do so by the end of March 31st, we will remain open for that year. That figure is based on what our shortfall will be when the minimum wage is entirely rolled out in 2018. We announced that near the end of February. 48 hours later, we had 300 sponsors. And at this point, we actually have nearly 800 sponsors. So it's actually been sort of a rousing success.
And what does that feel like, that enough people care about Borderlands to sponsor it and to keep it alive?
It feels great. It also is a bit shocking. As I told people, I knew people liked us. I didn't realize that this many people liked us this much. We had sponsors calling from Australia, the Netherlands, the UK. Just the reaction was really very intense. So it was really gratifying.
Amy, you had, I believe, a different reaction to the minimum wage. Did you Did you increase your workers' wages? Is that what happened?
We did. We had already increased last year. We increased our start wage to 12. We'd always sort of prided ourselves on staying ahead of the curve. That's getting a little bit more difficult with each year. But then when Oakland, I have one of my stores is in Oakland, when they passed the 12.25, we moved all of our staff, the incoming staff, to that level. And it did make quite a big difference. We've been struggling. Not struggling. One of the things that I think bookstores really have to think about and do is look at everywhere they can possibly, you know, find margin and find a way to survive. And we need more customers in the door, but we also need to have better margins. And one of the good developments of the last 2 years has actually been some of the bigger publishers really stepping up with some very useful programs to make us more competitive, better discounts, better terms, and very quick replenishment, so that we can also, independent bookstores, have many special orders, the vast majority of the ones that people ask for, within 2 days, or less sometimes, if you're really lucky. So we also have been looking at, you know, that this is why you see a lot of bookstores also carrying more gifts, more sign lights. They just really help ease the pressure of the margin. The book, the new book margin has traditionally been very unforgiving.
And so it's working for you?
So far, we've had a really nice increase in sales. I think people do like bookstores. They think they're great. And once you realize that, it sort of frees you up to really do a lot of fun things. And that's what we've been doing all year, is just
trying. What kind of things?
Basically, saying yes whenever one of my staff has a cool idea. we go with it. We have entertainments, quasi-dramatical things, dramatic things. We have lots more readings. We have this week also, and for Bookstore Day, we're doing lots of, you know, games and a raffle and, you know, all sorts of things. So we've just sort of had to step up our game and finding that that's working so far.
And so we were talking about this earlier. Was this renaissance a mix of what you have done creatively to keep yourselves alive, but also the kind of people rising up and saying, you know, this is not going to be the end of the story? Like, what do you feel the role of the book lover is in your success? Alan?
Absolutely critical. People asked me when I said we were closing, they were like, oh, you know, is it Amazon? And I told them no, because at this point, people who are shopping on Amazon, that's what they're going to do. And people who shop in actual physical independent bookstores are doing so because they choose to. It's not like they haven't heard of Amazon.com. It's not like they are uncomfortable buying things online. And so at this point, the fact that people choose to support independent bookstores, either just merely by patronizing them or doing like what they did for my store, is absolutely critical. Without that, we'd be out of business. Certainly, I would be out of business, and I think many other stores would also be out of business.
Samantha, is that the same for you at Green Apple?
Yeah, I don't actually work at Green Apple, so I'm not aware of the actual statistics, but just overall, the sort of ebook revolution has also really leveled off. I think when that technology first came out, people went crazy, and there were all these media stories about how no one was going to read real books anymore, and everyone was going to read, you know, on their various devices. And there are many people that transferred over, but there are many people who didn't, and most readers are comfortable on both. And so the ebook thing has not obliterated books, physical books, in the way that people were predicting it would. It turns out people really do want to hold a book in their hands. And it's the physical book is a really important part of the reading process for many people.
And it's not stereotypically the older folks.
Not necessarily.
Who want to hold that book and turn the pages and go like this with their finger in their tongue and turn that page. Not necessarily.
Not
right?
necessarily. I mean, I do think probably older people are less comfortable with all the, you know, the electronic readers, perhaps. Although, you know, my mom has both.
But you have young people coming into your store still.
Oh, yeah. definitely.
Same with you, Amy?
Oh, yes. Actually, we'll do anything for a 12-year-old reader. we have our kids' book sections have really increased, and we've increased the size and volume of them. We're having a lot of... I think people really like still to read to their children, and I think they like to see their children reading books. And I think that is just so embedded in what we think is important about child rearing, and we're seeing that that, you know, continues to be important to this day. And, you know, we also... bookstores are one of the few, I mean, people talk about third place, but we really are. There are not many places that are open sort of early to late where everybody, absolutely everybody, is kind of welcome and will find something interesting and can stay and not, you know, are not being a bother if they don't buy something. And that's just such a rare thing now on the street. And I think we've all been able to kind of enjoy being, at least for a while, that place.
I'd like to invite our listeners in on this conversation. Tell us what your favorite local bookstore is, what they've done differently, perhaps, to stay open, or if your beloved bookstore has shut down. We want to hear your stories at 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255, or send us an email at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Samantha, you talked about changing the narrative around what's happening to independent bookstores. What does it need to change from, and what does it need to change to?
Well, I think for many years, and bookstores and the whole publishing industry have gone through tremendous changes in the last decade. And in the mid-90s to the mid-2000s, we lost a lot of independent bookstores. We lost a lot here in San Francisco. Great institutions in the Bay Area, Cody's, Cleanwell Lighted Place for Books. You know, it was a reality. But people, media tends to glom on to that story and stick with it long after.
Uh-oh, media.
I know. I don't like that as a blanket term either. But the story just gets told over and over again, and without anyone bothering to check if it's still true. And the reality, like I said, is there are more bookstores opening, independent bookstores opening across the country now than closing. And we've reached sort of equilibrium. And we're not in this panic situation. The book business is a challenging business for all the reasons that we talked about. I mean, book prices are set and all of these other things, but it's not a story of doom and gloom anymore. Many, many stores are doing tremendously well and are vibrant and are, you know, anchors of their communities and towns, and people love them, and they're not in danger of closing.
And do you need to do something actively to show that, or is surviving and being there and being this hub for community enough?
Well, part of our job at Independent Bookstore Day is to just help change that story. I don't think bookstores just have to do what they're doing that's mm-hmm. working. Mm-hmm. But we just want to get that sort of new story out, in that new perception that you don't have to shop at an independent bookstore because you feel sorry for them. You know, shop at an independent bookstore because they're great places that are selling you what you want in a way that you want to get it. So that's sort of part of our job as Independent Bookstore Day.
And this, since you said the spread, the growth of independent bookstores is nationwide, so this isn't just a Bay Area thing where we think of ourselves as a place of readers and cultured people and people who just love books. This is a national trend?
It is, in some places more than others, and the Bay Area is particularly rich in both authors and independent bookstores and literary community. I mean, we just have it all in that regard. Although Minneapolis, St. Paul was just voted the most literary city in America, just in case we get too high on our horse.
Uh-huh. They have winter there.
Right. This trend continues. I think, you know, obviously there tends to be more independent bookstores in urban areas, and mm-hmm. But they're all over, and they're opening all over. And the other thing that's happening is retiring bookstore owners are able to sell their businesses to young booksellers. They're not having to close their doors because no one wants to run a bookstore. Lots of people want to run a bookstore. You know, it's a viable business. And, you know, it still has some romance to it. Despite what actual booksellers might tell you about how difficult it is, and it is, there is a romance about running a bookstore, I think, if you haven't done it.
We are going to, again, invite more people to join this conversation, 866-798-8255. And we have a caller. Let's go to Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I sell a lot of used books to the different bookstores, and Green Apple and Pegasus and Shakespeare in Berkeley, and also Dog-Eared in San Francisco. And I have found them very gracious and very nice, and I just love all the independent bookstores. I never buy a book on Amazon or Abe unless I can't get it anywhere else for a reading class I take. But
why, Nancy? Why have you not gone to Amazon?
I hate them.
Okay.
I mean, I think they're destroying not only bookstores, but now they're into groceries and everything else, and I just wish they would all die.
Okay.
But anyways, independent bookstores make a community, and they're all just wonderful. Book Passage is another one, and Books, Inc., and it's just great having them. And one thing that I think helps a little bit, I know Green Apple does it, and that's they have coupons on Groupon every once in a while, and that's really nice. Where you pay a certain amount of money and you get a coupon for more money for books.
Mm-hmm.
And and also Green Apple gives coupons for when the schools have auctions for what's called bidding for good.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, a lot of that maybe other bookstores could do this, and that would help.
Great. Well, thank you for your call, sure. Nancy. Thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts on your local independent bookstores and Amazon. The number to call is 866-798-8255 if you'd like to join the conversation. Passion right there about Amazon. Amy, you want to comment on that?
I just want to say one thing. She's right. You know, one of the things that online discounters do is they hurt all kinds of retail. So one thing that we're looking forward to in the next few years, we hope, is seeing more retailers out on the block with us.
Mm-hmm.
And sharing the space with us and having a more vibrant retail sector. It's fun, you know, having a bookstore and being open, but we really miss having a lot of other shops and stores around us.
Hmm.
And retail has become quite challenging because of the discounting online.
And does it look like that is going to happen?
We just had a beautiful, wonderful local independent hardware store open up on College Avenue, Cole Hardware, of this great city originally, and they've just opened up in Oakland. We're very excited to have them there.
All right. Great. 866-798-8255 is the number. Again, feedback@yourcallradio.org. With us today talking about books and independent bookstores is Samantha Shea, Program Director of Independent Bookstore Day, which is this Saturday, May 2nd. Also with us today is Amy Thomas, owner of 3 Pegasus Bookstores and Pendragon Bookstore in Berkeley and Oakland, and Alan Beats is the founder and owner of Borderlands, a bookshop in the Mission District that specializes in science fiction. Almost went down, but didn't. That's the twist in the story. Give us a call if you'd like to join the conversation at 866-798-8255. We'll take a short break. In the meantime, what is your favorite local independent bookstore? Is it still there? Did it go away? How do you feel about that? What did it do to stay open? And how often do you go there? Tell us all about it while we take this short break. We'll be right back to your call.
This is your call on Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco. If you have a perspective that you've not yet heard expressed in today's discussion or a question that you'd like to have answered, please join our conversation. It's a toll-free call, 866-798-TALK. 866-798-8255. If you'd rather type out an email and shoot it off to us, the address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. www.bbcnewsradio.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock, World Have Your Say from the BBC. And then at noon today, it's Ira Glass and This American Life here on Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the state of independent bookstores. This is Your Call. I'm Hannah Baba, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. With us today is Samantha Shea and Amy Thomas and Alan Beats, all in the middle of it all, of the world of independent bookstores. And we want to hear from you at 866-798-TALK. What's your favorite one to go to? What's happened to it over the years? And what's been added to it to make you go there? Or email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. We have a number of callers on the line, so let's go to a caller. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Go
hi,
ahead.
This is hi, Samantha. This is Michelle Richmond.
Hi.
Hi. I'm going to be at Green Apple this weekend for California Bookstore Day, and I just want to offer a perspective as a local author. Mm. So I have a special relationship with Green Apple and also with Books, Inc., but Green Apple keeps all of my books in stock signed all of the time, which is pretty amazing considering they go kind of far back, and larger bookstores don't tend to stock old, you know, like 10-year-old books by mid-list authors. Mm. So it's pretty amazing. They always have my books in stock. And Books, Inc. has done the same for me. And as an author in the Bay Area, it's an amazing place to be a writer because our local booksellers like Books, Inc., Green Apple, Kepler's are so good about promoting us to readers and putting our books in the hands of readers and helping them find us. So it's an amazing place to be a writer. And I want to thank Samantha for California Bookstore or Independent Bookstore Day, which is now going national. It's
great.
Pretty amazing. Thanks for the call.
We haven't talked about the authors yet, the people who write the books. Let's go to another one before we talk about that. Let's go to Kara in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. I agree with Suzanne. I'm a local author, and it's really important that when we have books out, that we have a place to go and talk about our books. I love Books, Inc. and Book Passage, Bookshop, West Portal, Green Apple, and Book Passage. And it's true, they keep our books signed in stock, and they're really happy to see us. And tonight, I live in Noe Valley. My local bookshop, Folio, is having a Scrabble night. I get to go down, play Scrabble, and also we're having a meeting about Noe Valley Word Week that'll be happening, I think, in the fall or next year. So it's really a community place. You know, that's what bookstores are. You know, we go in, we see a book, and it's a book maybe I've never heard of, and a book that no algorithm will ever generate for me as a reader, right? Mm. And I'm, like, entranced, and I end up always leaving with something. So, you know, we're all writers or readers, so we want to go and see wonderful books and support a bookstore that needs to pay its electricity, you know, and pay its workers. And one more thing to Alan, that I'm a member of the local Mystery Writers of America and Sisters in Crime, as crime writers, and we've always hosted our Christmas gatherings at your store.
Uh-huh. So I was going to guess, this is Carol Black, right?
Right, hi.
Yep, hi.
You all know each other.
Yes, we do. It's actually a pretty small community.
So thank you for what you're doing, everybody, and hope to see you on the bookstore day Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Kara. Let's talk about the authors. What is the relationship like between a bookstore and an author who comes and says, here's my book, what next? What happens? What's that process like? You want to go, Alan?
Sure. For I can only speak to what we do in our shop. Mm-hmm. But typically the way that process goes if an author comes in with a copy of their book, they'll usually leave it with someone at the counter because usually I or the book buyer are pretty busy at the time. But if we have time, we'll come out, we'll talk with the author and, you know, kind of tell us about your book. Mm-hmm. And then the book will go to either myself or our book buyer. We'll take a look at it and see if it, you know, decide if it's something that fits within our specialty. Mm-hmm. And then if so, we'll order it from our supplier. We'll contact the author and find out what the best place to get it is. And then for future books, we'll talk to the author and say, hey, would you like to do an event with us when your next book comes out, do a reading or a signing or something like that? But that's usually how the process works.
Okay. And because your bookstore has a specialty.
Yes, we specialize in science fiction, mystery, fantasy, and horror.
Right. So it would need to fit that.
Exactly.
But for example, Amy, at Pegasus, you don't have a specialty like that. So what's the process like and what determines which book gets in your store, a place in your store?
Well, for most of our buying, it's a pretty intense process. We have buyers at all the stores buying new books from catalogs. We also buy books across the counter. I have a staff of 28 people who are just reading constantly and buying constantly. When we're talking about an author that doesn't have publisher support necessarily, maybe a self-published book. We have a place on our shelves for that too, and they're very welcome to leave it there. And we give it a good floor space for 3 months and give it a go. And if it does well, we'll keep it. And always are very glad to see people still interested in writing. That's what we do.
Let's go to more callers. There are many of you on the line. And the number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. Let's go to Gail in San Ramon. Welcome. Hi, Gail.
Hi, this is Gail. And I wanted to give a shout-out to Bay Books in San Ramon and also comment on the previous caller's remarks about Amazon. I've bought books both from Amazon and from Bay Books, and although more from Bay Books, and the reason why is because there's a difference I find that when I read reviews of books online versus actually talking to people about the review, it makes a huge difference. And every single person that works at Bay Books has given me great reviews for children's books and for adult books, and I think that's the reason why we keep going back to Bay Books. We've been introduced to so many different genres of books that we would never have read or have found on Amazon.
So you kind of appreciate both, then, both ways?
I do. I mean, we go to Amazon because Bay Books has many books that we like, but there are certain genres that they sometimes don't have. It's an old and new used book. So we go there if we're in desperate need of a book that we can't wait for. Mm-hmm. But our preference is always just to go to Bay Books and just talk to the booksellers and see the books.
All right. Thank you for your call. Thanks. From San Ramon. That's Gail. Let's go to Oakland and talk to Jerry. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to your call. Jerry.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's Gary, actually. I grew up going to a couple of big rambling bookstores that I do miss. One was McDonald's bookstore on Turk Street in the Tenderloin. Three floors. You walk into the place, it was a disaster. You couldn't imagine where anything was, so you just wandered and discovered. But if you asked one of the clerks, I'm looking for this book, they would take you immediately to it. And Holmes Bookstore in Oakland was more organized, but it was a similar kind of a thing. What is happening in Oakland right now is pretty incredible, because downtown Oakland and Piedmont Avenue are becoming book lovers' places where there are many bookstores, used and new, and they're just, it's a fabulous walk to do. My favorite bookstores right now, though, are City Lights, which has always been a favorite bookstore because the selection is totally unique in areas that you can't find anywhere else. And Bird and Beckett, because they have live jazz as well as book readings.
Great. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Ooh, bookstores that are long gone. I see many heads in here nodding. Yes, yes.
McDonald's was especially legendary. They were once shut down by the fire marshal, who basically came in and said, if you do not get the piles of newspapers out of the aisles, I will not let you reopen, period. You have to fix this. Someone's going to die.
What is it, though, that a place can be such, you know, in shambles, as he said, and looks unorganized, right? But the bookstore owner knows exactly what you want. He could take you exactly to its place. It's kind of like us at home, where there's maybe a huge mess, but you know exactly where everything is. Is it that same feel at a bookstore, that somebody can come in and you go, yeah, I know exactly what shelf that's on?
Booksellers are all a little bit OCD.
Uh-huh. We're a lot more organized now.
And we spend a lot of time. I mean, I know all of our shops are actually very well organized, because I can't work in that environment. It makes me nutty. Mm-hmm. But I think booksellers really are really focused on books. And I can tell you the spine and shelf location of a number of books in my store just right now off the top of my head, because we pay attention to that. It's part of the reason we're in the business.
Mm. A book about a mystery about a little girl that goes lost in the woods. Go. What shelf is it?
Not a mystery. That would be The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon by Stephen King. We have it in new mass market paperback. That will be the short height shelf halfway towards the back of the store, left side.
All right. I believe you. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Patrick in Oakland. Go ahead, Patrick. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. It's nice to be on the show. I'm only a Bay Area native for the last 6 years. I'm from Boston originally. I lived in San Francisco and went to Dog-Eared Books all the time. I think it was like the best bookstore I've ever been to. I got sent over to Oakland when we moved back in 2012, and I discovered Spectator Books, which has like the best selection of like crime mystery from my Edward Bunker, James Ellroy, Donald Goines. And then I went up to Walden Books, and then I went to Moe's, and I just the Bay Area has like the best selection of bookstores, and it's very inspiring to be here. I finished my first novel living here, and kind of being around. And that was the other thing too, being in San Francisco, was reading and knowing personally Bucky Sinister, Michelle T, that they were actually writing and living in San Francisco, reading at these bookstores and like producing work and like part of the community. It was really inspiring for an aspiring writer to try to do that myself, and I've been able to do it in this environment. And and there's the Book Zoo off of Piedmont Ave. The dude has he uses a hollowed out book as a cash register. Totally cool. And I can go on and on. The Books Inc. Downtown, a bibliomania or something. They had an old Ouija original photograph book. So there's great. All kinds of really cool bookstores around here. Oh, I forgot. I live near Jingletown. The best bookstore in the world happens at the White Elephant Rummage Sale for the month of February every year. They have the largest selection of books for like between $1 to $3, and that is I'm there like two or three times a week for 4 weeks straight, coming back here with stacks of books for like $50.
Right. Great. Thank you, Patrick. Lots of great recommendations from Patrick in Oakland. We're going to stay in Oakland and go to Kathy, who is on the line. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to your call.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I live just off the Laurel District, and there was a really wonderful bookstore here in the neighborhood that was very well supported by the locals, but there just weren't enough of the locals to support the store, because the store was in a drive-through street. So unfortunately, Luann of Laurel Books was this amazing bookseller who really supported all of us who supported her, ordered whatever we needed, had children's story time. She put out a newsletter letting us know what was new and what was available, always ordered what we wanted, and it was just a real pleasure to have a personal connection in the neighborhood, and it's just really a shame that in that particular case, I don't think she went under. She moved to a location that would make it more possible for her to survive. But I just wanted to
to say it's really wonderful to have neighborhood bookstores, and those of us who frequent them really appreciate the services and the personal connection we have with the shopkeepers.
Great. Thank you so much for the call, Kathy. Amy?
I just wanted to say Luann is a terrific bookseller and also now a pioneer, and she's opened her store, Laurel Books, at 14th and Broadway in downtown Oakland in a really nice, big, beautiful space. Okay. Wish her all the best.
All right. There you go. 866-798-8255. If you'd like to call, share your local, your favorite local bookstore, if it's still there, if it has shut down, we want to hear the story and we want to hear why you go there. 866-798-8255. I think it was Gary that was talking about, or maybe Patrick, that talked about San Francisco being a unique place where the writing happens. What is the significance of this happening or having a bookstore here where the literature does, you know, is born, Samantha?
Well, it's true. I mean, we're just tremendously rich in authors here of all types, poets and fiction writers and journalists and nonfiction of all kinds. And, you know, San Francisco has always been a place for creative exploration. It's always attracted people that want to push boundaries and, you know, writers and artists and the like. And it still does, despite the tremendously high cost of living. But to have that personal relationship between authors and booksellers is pretty amazing. I mean, there are lots of authors who never get to meet the people who actually sell their books, you know, or maybe they meet them briefly on a book tour if they're lucky, but they don't live in a community where they're actually on a first name, day-to-day basis with booksellers who read their books and know them, and it's a personal relationship.
And why is that important? What does it do?
I think it closes the circle between, you know, the creative process of writing the book and the connecting that book with readers, you know. Authors spend all this time alone creating their work, and then it goes out into the world, and they don't really have a lot to do with it after that, you know, after the initial promotion is over or whatever. And knowing a bookseller and then sort of being able to reach your readers in a direct way through that bookstore and that bookseller is this sort of full circle. And it also, it's just so nice for both the authors and the booksellers to know each other. You know, they both share the same love, which is books and literature. And so it's sort of an automatic relationship. It is not hard. It's not a hard friendship to form. And, you know, we have just so many great writers here that are so supportive of independent books stores. Daniel Handler, Dave Eggers. I edited a book for Independent Bookstore Day called Days Like This, Good Writers on Bad Luck, Bum Deals, and Other Torments. And I asked writers all over the country, but a lot of local authors, to write me original essays for this book. And so many came through. I mean, it's just, it's an embarrassment of riches. You know, we have Novella Carpenter, Chris Collin, Janice Cook Newman, Anne Lamott, Rachel Levin, Yi-Yun Lee, Catherine Ma. The list goes on. These are all just the local people who contributed to this book without hesitation. Like, oh, this is for independent bookstores? Sure. Mm. So the generosity and the support is really, really evident.
We have an email sent to us by Fran, and Fran says she misses a clean, well-lighted place for books. But she says, what I miss the most is the wonderful staff recommendations. They were always so thoughtful, and they never steered me wrong. You used to work there, Samantha.
I did.
Maybe you could talk to us about how the owner opened up a new shop and life is going on.
Yeah. So I used to work at the Van Ness location as their events manager. And Neil Soffman, one of the co-owners of A Clean, Well-Lighted Place, which was one of the giants in bookselling for a long time. They had a store in Marin, a store in Cupertino, and a store here in San Francisco. And it was really shocking when they closed. They were not the first, but, you know, they were in that first wave of bookstore closures where people went, wow, this is really happening. Like, I can't believe, you know, something, an institution like this is gone. But what Neil, who's a lifelong bookseller, did was change his model and open up West Portal Books as a very locally focused neighborhood bookstore. And that's a wonderful, thriving bookstore, and it's on just a much different scale. Instead of trying to serve the Bay Area and be this enormous general bookstore and have all the biggest authors come through, he is serving, you know, what is a very lovely, walkable community with mm-hmm. their bookstore.
And it's working.
It's working, yeah.
All right. Let's go to some more of your calls. Let's go to Josette in Oakland. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I've been blessed to be a bookseller in the Bay Area for 35 years, starting out in bookstores before we had our inventory on computers. And one of the most wonderful bookstores is Cottage Bookshop on 4th Street in San Rafael in the early 80s. That was amazing. And now, for the last 10 years, I've been at Books, Inc. in Alameda. And we've become, over the 10 years, a very a wonderful community bookstore and a third place for people. There's a lot of families in Alameda. We have a vibrant children's section. And I'm just happy to have to be able to put my voice into this conversation, because it's been the most amazing and blessed thing to be a bookseller and to do the recommendations and to have regular customers that come in and say, what's new? You know, what do you think I'd like to read? And I just hope everyone will come out on May 2nd to all our bookstores and celebrate with us the wonderful world of books.
And you're having a beards and beer party?
Yes, beards, beer, and books. We have an amazing.
Do we have to wear beards?
Jerry Thompson, you could. I suppose you could figure out some way to do that if you're female. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of very fun events at our store, and this is going to be one of the greatest, I think. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's go to some of our listeners in Santa Cruz listening on KUSP in Santa Cruz. Let's go to Lupe. Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm not much of a reader. Well, I wasn't much of a reader, but the cleaning crew over at Bookshop Santa Cruz I think Bookshop Santa Cruz is great.
Mm-hmm.
But they were really nice in that they gave us discounts. And cleaning, I'd go in there at 5 a.m. and would spend much longer than I needed to stay there. But anyway, so they gave us discounts, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get this because this seems interesting. And just, you know, there wasn't very much to read as far as Latino-based books. Mm. And it's a big population that does read. And I'm, you know, obviously an English reader, but I also read Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so market out there, folks. So the one thing that I really liked about an independent bookstore versus going to Borders, becoming overwhelmed, turning around, looking, I hate to shop, so I turned around, looked, and I'd walk right out. I couldn't stand it.
Hmm.
But having to be there at Bookshop, it just opened up such a door for me as far as desiring to read, being interested in what is out there, different authors, different types of reading, you know, the sciences, you know, truth, fiction, whatever. So anyway, what I wanted to say really is this, is that an independent bookstore opened up my appetite for reading. And what it also did was that it made me realize that there wasn't enough for me to read that I could relate to out there because of my culture.
Right.
And anything that I was interested in, I would just absorb it.
Okay.
And so, you know, just saying that's what independent bookstores do, I think, because a lot of people just walk through that store. If you've been to that store, they go from, you know, Pacific Avenue back to Front Street and back and forth, and they walk right through it. But and I did that many times before I started working there, you know, as cleaning crew. But I just, you know, I buy there now, and I keep going back. Okay. And there was a comment earlier about the little things that are there, the extra little things that are there.
Yeah.
That keep that bookstore going. You know, I agree with that. Yeah, because every once in a while I bought, you know, if it's not a bottle opener, it's a, you know, one little thing after another. But
right. Well, thank you for your call, Lupe. I'm sorry we're short on time, but that's a great story. Thank you so much for calling in. Can we spend a couple of minutes talking about diversity, cultural diversity? And Lupe saying she couldn't find books that reflected her culture or books in her language. So how important is that for you as booksellers in an area as diverse as the Bay Area to have those options? Amy Thomas.
It's really important. Fortunately, we have a kind of a wonderful new movement that swept up, started by some local authors, actually. I think Mike Young was one of them, called We Need Diverse Books. And it's an attempt to, you know, create lists, create, you know, a sort of a new canon of books that are not necessarily represented in, have not been represented traditionally as sort of backlist in bookstores. And we're excited to be part of that.
Okay. So it's a priority for you.
And it is. And it's also, but it's a matter of growing that audience.
Right.
And like, how do we grow that audience for those books? And that's what we'll be working on.
Okay. And that's going to have to be our little diversity conversation. We've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for being with us. Samantha Shea, Program Director of Independent Bookstore Day, Saturday, May 2nd. All the details will be at yourcallradio.org. Thank you, Alan Beats, for being with us, founder and owner of Borderlands. And thank you, Amy Thomas, owner of Pegasus, here in Berkeley and in Oakland. So thank you all. Thanks to our listeners.
Thank
Sorry
you.
If we could not get to you. We will get to you next time. Thanks for listening. I'm Hanat Baba. This is Your Call. On the next Your Call, we'll talk about prescription painkiller abuse that's creating heroin addicts. The CDC says deaths from heroin overdose tripled from 2010 to 2013. We'll talk to journalist Sam Quiñones, author of The True Tale of America's Opiate Epidemic. He documents how unfettered marketing of painkillers and the influx of a cheap form of heroin from Mexico hooked middle-class America. What can be done to stop that? It's Your Call with Matt Martin and you.
Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Nock Nguyen produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, and Matt Martin is executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.